I want to begin this morning by asking you a question, and the question is simply this. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? In other words, has it ever occurred to you that our God has never had a new idea to suddenly just pop into His mind? He's never had an old thought to slip from His memory, or that He has never wondered about and has never even been surprised by anything that may have happened in our world. One writer, I think, said it very well when he said this concerning God. He said that our God is instantly and eternally knows every fact about everything, everywhere, forever, and He knows it perfectly, completely, and unerringly. And that is exactly what we're going to be dealing with in our study today. Now, you remember last time we dealt with the subject of our God's omnipotence. And if you'll remember, we saw how that's simply a big word. It means that our God is all-powerful. Our God is all-powerful. Well, now we come to a similar word, and that is the word omniscience. The word omniscience. And again, we're going to notice that this is a compound word. The first part of it, omni, just like last week, it means all. And the second part of it, science, as you can well guess, has to do with knowledge. Has to do with knowledge. And so when we talk about the omniscience of God, it simply means that our God is a God who knows everything. He knows everything. David, the psalmist of Israel, wrote about this attribute of God. He declared the omniscience of God when he wrote in Psalm 139, verse 1 to verse number 4. He said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. And so it's no wonder then, it's no wonder that the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 21, he said, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He, that's the Lord God, pondereth all His goings. The point is simply this. God knows each one of us far better than we even know our own selves. He knows us better than we know our own selves. He knows the status of our physical health. He knows the temperature of our emotions. He knows the purity of our thoughts. He knows the hurts that are hiding in our past. And He knows all about the fears that are clouding our future. He knows when we rise up. He knows when we will fall. And every decision that we will ever make and every word that we will ever speak, God knows all about that. He is omniscient. But the thing that is most amazing to David was not that God knew all about him, but it was that even though the Lord God knew all about him, the Lord God still loved him. Loved him with a love beyond human comprehension. And so therefore David wrote in Psalm 139, verse 17 and verse number 18, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Like all of our God's wonderful attributes, His omniscience is impossible for us to fully comprehend until we see how it is illustrated in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ during His life and ministry on this earth. If you remember, the Apostle Paul, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, said this, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9, He in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why That's why during a conversation between the Lord Jesus and one of His disciples, a man by the name of Philip, we find in John chapter 14, verse 8 and verse number 9, we find that Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me, listen carefully, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And because the Lord Jesus is the physical revelation of God, He shares the attributes of God. And therefore, it should not surprise us that on various occasions during His ministry, the Lord Jesus would actually exercise the attribute of omniscience. For example, you remember in the Scriptures we find a time when a demon-possessed man came to the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus had cast out the demon, the Pharisees began to question in their minds the source of such power. How is it that Jesus Christ could do such a thing? And as they were thinking these things, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. There's another time in the Bible we read that a man with a withered hand was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and the religious leaders were secretly wondering what Jesus Christ was going to do. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse number 8, but He knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. Now that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. But let me show you one more that's even more mind-blowing, if I can put it that way. It's found when the Lord Jesus made this statement in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 21, Jesus said, Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works, notice the word if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now think of the implications that are found here in this verse. From this passage we learn that the omniscience of God not only knows what was, but He also knows what might have been. What might have been. In other words, He knows what the outcome would be in every hypothetical situation. He knows what every contingency would resolve itself, or how it would resolve itself if it were to be implemented. Certainly, when we honestly consider God's omniscience, we must acknowledge that He is certainly worthy of our worship. When we consider His omniscience, He is certainly worthy of our praise. But God's omniscience is not merely an academic study for the theologian. There are some practical applications that we need to understand as well. And so with that in mind, let me give you 4 points to consider as we think about the omniscience of our God. Notice number one, omniscience and confession. Omniscience and confession. Two thoughts that I would want to mention here. First of all, I want us to consider the way of the fool. The way of the fool. The wise man. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3 said this. He said, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." The wise man also again wrote, over in the book of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and verse number 14, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Because our God is omniscient. Because our God is omniscient, He sees every action. He hears every word. Not only that, He knows the motive of every heart. And therefore, just consider how foolish it is. How foolish it is to think that we can somehow pull the wool over God's eyes and hide from Him our sinful actions, our sinful attitudes, to hide from Him who knows everything about us, to hide those things from Him. In fact, that's why the wise man also said this. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse number 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." But that's the way of the foolish. The way of the foolish is always trying to hide their sin. They're always trying to cover it up so that nobody will know. But then I want you to notice letter B, the way of the wise. The way of the wise. Again, the wise man said this in Proverbs 28, verse 13. Notice the rest of the verse. It says that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. In other words, instead of trying to cover his sins, the wise man is going to do two things. First of all, he will confess his sin. He will confess his sin. In Psalm 32, verse number 5, listen to what the psalmist said. He said, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah." In other words, the psalmist said that instead of trying to cover up and hide his sin, he was going to acknowledge the sin. He was going to confess the transgressions, trusting in God's forgiveness. But not only did he confess his sin, notice number two, the way of the wise is to forsake his sin. To forsake his sin. In other words, the wise man, after he is forgiven of his sin, will determine that he is going to obey. He's going to obey the command of the Lord Jesus, who said to the woman that had been taken in adultery in John chapter 8, verse 10 and verse 11, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, now here's the command I want you to notice, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." To forsake sin, yes, we must confess. But the wise man will also forsake the sin. That is, this is God's omniscience as it relates to the confession of our sins. While we may fool one another, husbands may fool their wives, parents may fool their children, children may fool their parents. Everybody can fool the pastor, right? And so we may fool one another, and we may convince other people that we are spiritual and that we're walking with God the way that we should. But I want you to understand, even though we may hide things from one another, we can never hide anything from the omniscient God that we know and that we serve. And so therefore, we may as well come clean. We may as well come clean. We may as well acknowledge our sinful actions. We may as well acknowledge our sinful attitudes. We may as well come before Him humbly seeking His cleansing. Omniscience and confession. Notice number two, omniscience and relationship. Omniscience and relationship. Many people struggle in their human relationships because in their minds, love is conditional. By that we mean love is performance-based. It's performance-based. In other words, people will say, "Well, now, I will love you if you will do so-and-so-and-so-and-so." Or perhaps they will say, "If you don't do these things, I'm not going to love you." In other words, their love is conditional. But God's love is unconditional. Because love is His very nature. The Bible does not say, you need to notice it very carefully, the Bible does not say that God has love. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. His very essence, His nature is love. And because His nature never changes, He always loves us, even though He knows perfectly well our every slip, our every weakness, our every sin. However, the fact that God loves us even though he knows all about us does not mean that we can feel free to rebel against him. It does not mean that we can feel free to live our life however we please, ignoring God's word. Remember, the Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse number 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And therefore, just as the love of a father will cause that father to discipline the child that he loves so that that child might be corrected in his improper behavior, so that that child might grow up to be a man or a woman of honor and a person of character. In the very same way, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse number 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." You see, because our Heavenly Father knows every sinful attitude we hold, he knows every sinful action that we take, he also knows exactly what kind of discipline that we need to correct us, to help us to change the way that we're going. And because he knows us so intimately, because he loves us so intimately, he lovingly administers the discipline that we need so that we might, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, that we might become partakers of his holiness. In Hebrews 12, 11, that we might reap the peaceable fruit of righteousness. There's God's omniscience as it relates to the confession of our sins. There's God's omniscience as it relates to our relationship with him. Then I want you to notice number 3, God's omniscience and prayer. God's omniscience and prayer. The Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he gave this statement. In verse number 6, or verse number 7 rather, in verse number 8, he said, "When you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him." Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking right now. You're probably thinking to yourself, "Now, wait a minute, Pastor, if God already knows what I need, then why do I need to ask him? Why do I need to pray?" And yet God in his word has clearly commanded that we should pray. In fact, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples a parable for that very purpose. You remember in Luke chapter 18, and in verse number 1, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, spake a parable unto them to this end. In other words, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. As one writer has noted, if God says we should pray, even if we do not understand some of the issues involved. God has commanded us to pray, and when we pray, that is when we actually begin to see what we really need from the perspective of our omniscient God. In other words, when we begin to pray, we begin to see things from God's point of view. And so therefore, prayer is not us seeking to change God's mind or twisting God's arm or talking him into doing our will. Rather, prayer is about us drawing closer to God so that we might learn to submit to the will of God with the full confidence that he already knows everything that we need. And he also knows exactly when we need it. He knows everything that we need, and he knows when we need it. And so there's God's omniscience as it relates to the confession of our sin. There's God's omniscience as it relates to our relationship with him. There's God's omniscience as it relates to our prayer life. But then I want you to notice number 4. There is also God's omniscience as it relates to our suffering. As it relates to our suffering. It is a simple fact that into every life there will come circumstances. Into every life there will come circumstances that will result in physical suffering. There will come things that will cause emotional suffering. And during those times of suffering, during those times of pain, we will long for someone who can comprehend. We will long for someone who can understand. We will long for someone who can empathize with what it is that we're facing, what it is that we're going through. While you may find no human who can fill the bill, while you may find that there is no human that can do all of those things, what a wonderful encouragement it is to know that our Heavenly Father is an omniscient God who hears the sigh of every heart. He sees the tear in every eye, and He understands perfectly every emotion that we feel. No wonder the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, said this. He said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God." God's wisdom directs all things to the best possible end. And God's omniscience sees the best way to bring us to that end. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 147, verse number 5, he said, "Great is our Lord. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding." We could actually put there the word omniscience. His understanding, His omniscience is infinite. In other words, in His perfect omniscience, God knows every detail of every trial that we will ever face in the course of our life. As one writer has noted, He knows how those trials came about, how many thousands of events unfolded throughout our history to cause them. He knows how many complicated after effects the trials will produce. He knows exactly how many tears they will bring to your eyes, or how much hurt they will bring to your heart, and how many blessings they will yield as the years go by. He knows the end from the beginning. That's the omniscience of our God. And that's why the wise man said with such confidence in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6, "Trust in the Lord," not in your own self, not in your own wisdom, but "trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Oh, what a wonderful truth it is this morning, folks, that we have an all-knowing God. And even though He is omniscient and He knows us better than we know ourselves, He loves us. He loves us so passionately. In fact, the Bible says He loves us so much, John 3:16, that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, our omniscient God loves us so much that He sent His Son into the world to take our sins upon Himself. He sent His Son into the world to die in our place so that we might have the blessed joy of spending all of eternity with Him in that wonderful place called heaven. I want to say to you this morning that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you have made done in your past, I want you to know this morning that God knows everything about you. In fact, the Bible says He even knows how many hairs are on your head, Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. So the question this morning then is not, does God know you? Yes, He does. He knows you very well. The question is, do you know Him? Do you know Him? If you're this morning listening to this and you're not saved, never been a time when you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray today that you would consider Christ. Consider the fact that He so loves you that He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. in order that you might receive the wonderful gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're listening this morning as a believer, understanding that God knows everything about us, oh, how we ought to love Him, how we ought to serve Him faithfully with all of our hearts, constantly striving that we might grow in our knowledge of our Savior, the omniscient God who knows everything.